Well, you doing okay? Good. Well, we're on this little series on overcomers. And this morning, I want to just for a moment talk about overcomers through the power of fellowship. The power of fellowship. And I want you to think back to the story of David in the Old Testament. And this is before he's king. And he's effectively on the run because Saul, the current king, is out to kill him. And it seems like David's under threat of his life. He's not sure who to trust. People could, expose him and bring him into the king's wrath, if you like. And his survival was pretty much in the balance. But, and here's the big, I said the big but. Be careful how you interpret that one. But David had a friend. David had a friend who was standing by him, who encouraged him in this really critical time. And there's a great, fantastic verse. I love this verse in 1 Samuel 23, 16. And it says these words, "And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God." How many of you need somebody to help us find strength in God sometimes? We're hearing Sharon this morning. Absolutely bang on with what I want to share about today. And one of the blessings God has given you and me is to enable us to be overcomers in life by the strength that we gain from our fellow Christians. Some of you are not so sure. I just want you to look at the person next to you for a moment. And if you dare, say this. You are a blessing to me from the Lord.
You're a blessing to me from the Lord, right?
You're a blessing to me from the Lord. You know, that's why this thing called fellowship is so important. And when you look at the word fellowship up in the dictionary, it says this. It says fellowship. A fellowship is a group of people that join together for a common purpose or interest. And, of course, Tolkien encapsulated this in the Fellowship of the Ring. Now, I'm a bit of a late starter with some of things. I only saw the film this year. And you think, where have you been, David? But there's a story there about a hobbit and his eight companions, was it, who set out on a journey to destroy a powerful ring and to save Middle-earth from the Dark Lord Sauron. And there's a task that they're on. There's a mission that they're on. There's something, a purpose that they've gathered together for. I want to tell you and encourage you today. Oh, my goodness, the notes have gone. That you're in a greater place than that. Because you've been called to a greater thing than the fellowship of a ring. The Bible tells me that Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's something to cheer about. Because to be in fellowship with Jesus is a life-transforming thing. Changes us completely, changes our destiny. You know, Steve, when he was sharing a few moments ago, said it's a day of invitation to come. And for somebody here today, maybe this is a day of invitation for you, that it's a day to respond to that invitation, to come into fellowship with Jesus Christ. So that's number one. And of course, we sang a song, didn't we? You know, such love, the God of love sent his son Jesus Christ to die on a cross for us that we may come into that relationship with him. So firstly, fellowship with Jesus, and secondly, into fellowship with each other. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he, that's Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. How many of you are glad for fellowship with one another? Oh, dear me, it's going to be one of them mornings. The word fellowship in the Greek is the word koinonia. Koinonia means having a sharing something. And we share in this Christian faith. We share in the good things of God through our relationship with him. And we share in the challenges as well, because as Sharon was saying, we all have our challenges. And it's that sense of share. Not just bottling it up, but being a little bit vulnerable with those that you begin to trust and build relationship with. You know, in one sense, God designed us to be dependent on one another, not independent. The Apostle Paul, well-known passage of Scripture, Romans 12, and I'll read it from the New Living Translation because I can hardly read the NIV the way it's written. It's my English. But let me read this from the New Living Translation, verse 4 and 5. It says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. You belong to me. Flip side, I belong to you. That's what fellowship is all about. So, how does this fellowship with fellow Christians help us find strength in God, a bit like Jonathan did with David? How does it do that? Could I just say, there's something about the power of just being there sometimes. Sometimes just being alongside somebody, and you might not have to say anything, but you just being there just makes all the difference in their heart and life, yeah? You've experienced that probably on the flip side around, when somebody's just been there for you. You know, even when we gather like this in church, and, you know, Sharon alluded to it, you can feel a little bit sometimes in a bit of a crowd, but actually being here is such an encouragement to one another. I tell you what, you being here this morning is a real encouragement to me, because church leaders are incredibly insecure. And if you didn't turn up, well, I mean, it'd be a bad Monday. But actually just being around together, standing with each other and encouraging other is a great thing. And of course, to do that more intimately, we have our small groups, our connect groups, where it's an opportunity to build some stronger friendships than it's not always the case in a larger setting like this, where you encourage each other, pray for each other, care for each other, stand with each other, and just support one another. And how many of you are glad you've got an opportunity to do that? And if you've not tapped into that, I want to encourage you to seriously consider that. And then, of course, when we think about gathered church, the other end of the spectrum, 2 months' time, will be the One event on the Lincolnshire Showground, where thousands of Christians from the greater Lincolnshire area and beyond will gather together to worship, to lift up the name of Jesus, to receive teaching, to share together and encourage. And you might think, well, what sort of fellowship is that? It is awesome. Awesome. You know, we can get a little bit locked up in our thinking sometimes. And to get exposed to a bigger scene of what God is doing and an appreciation of what God is doing in a wider spectrum, and just to worship together with thousands of people and have stuff going on for all age ranges, from the very youngest to the oldest, is a wonderful thing. So if you are not yet booked in, this is a plug now, if you are not booked into the One event, I really want to encourage you to consider it. If you've never been, go and taste and see that God is good, as the psalmist would say. Or secondly, if you've not been for a few years, hey, make 2018 a year to re-engage. You know, it'll be great, really will. And so encourage you, you know, you can go and camp in a tent, you can take a caravan, you can book a hotel, or you can go as a day visitor. The opportunities are there. It's not far down the road from here. So the sense of just being there, encouraging one another in this whole thing called fellowship. Secondly, Paul says in Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Now, that whole thing about teaching is great, but that word admonish looks a bit, oh, don't fancy that. When you look up the word admonish in the dictionary, it means this: to lead someone away from a false path. Oh, now how many times have I needed that? To have somebody to come alongside me and say, David, I'm just praying for you because I think, you know, there's some things that you're heading towards that maybe, yeah, just to help me not make some mistakes. I'm vulnerable. I can make mistakes. I have a sneaky feeling you probably can as well. And to have fellowship, to have strength in relationship and encouragement and friendship, where somebody can just, in the right heart and the right attitude, not with a pointing finger, but just wanting the very best for your life, just come and say, hey, I want to stand with you, I want to pray with you, just to journey through the decisions maybe that you're making. I love the statement that J. John often says. He says this, J. John, the evangelist, he says, none of us have got it all together, but together we've got it. Yeah? None of us have got it all together, but together we've got it. And I'm going to very quickly, if you've got your Bible, you can flick open to Hebrews. And this is going to be super quick. In Hebrews, there are a number of exhortations, encouragements to keep going on the right path. And there are several that start with the phrase, let us, that sense of corporate, that sense of together, that we're not in this on our own. First one, Hebrews 4, verse 1. Since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short. First question, have you found that place of peace in God? Have you found that place of relationship with him as we were talking about a moment ago? Are you born again? I tell you what, if we get that right, if we get that relationship, that first sense of fellowship with Jesus right, then their sense of fellowship with one another begins to go forward. This is an illustration that's often used at weddings, and I've used it a number of times. You know, where a guy and a girl are getting married, and if they're Christians, you know, they've got a relationship with Jesus already. And so we often say to them, well, think about a triangle. It's not just a two-way relationship we're talking about today. It's a three-way relationship. We've got God at the top of the triangle. We've got the guy and the girl at the two other points of the triangle. And as those two individuals build in their relationship and fellowship with the Lord, so as they travel up the axes of the triangle, they are drawn closer together. You know, and there's something about that that is so important for helping us in our journey with God to be careful that none of us fall short of it. Second point, and there are 10 of these, so you'll know how far we're getting. In Hebrews 4, verse 16, it says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I love it when we come and we come together and we enter into the presence of God. And there's that sense of encouragement to do that from those who lead us and help us on that journey. And, you know, I encourage us all to do that, find that space and that place at home and our individual devotions to come before God. But there's something about a confidence sometimes. We hit it every now and again in worship where we just sense, yeah, we're coming into the presence of God. And there's something that is very special when that begins to happen. You and I are confidence bringers to the people around us as we enter into God's presence. Number three, chapter 6, verse 1, it says, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. You know, part of our role one towards another is to encourage each other on our journey of faith, to go deeper into the things of God and to pursue the purposes of God for our lives. Paul, again, in Ephesians, talks about the gifts he's given to the church to help us to mature. The apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to equip the church for works of ministry and to bring the body of Christ to maturity. There's something about gifts in the church that are so important. But it's not just about those named gifts there. It's about every one of us. And I love the illustration that Nicky Gumbel does in the Alpha course when he's talking about this sort of stuff. And he talks about the hot coal and the fire. You've heard me probably talk about this. You know, when it's in the midst of a load of hot coals, it stays bright red. You take it out, you put it on the side, it quickly becomes ashen grey. It's not fulfilling its purpose. But you pick it up, you put it back in again, and it becomes glowing red again. There's something so important about our connectedness and our fellowship together that takes us forward on our journey beyond the elementary things of teaching and faith. Number four, Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near to God with sincere hearts and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. There are some things that we do together that are so important, communion being one of them. We shared communion, was it last week before? And it's a wonderful time of just recognizing the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed on our behalf, and to do it together. And it's a powerful act when we do it in humility and just taking that moment of reverence before the Lord to do that. But the other thing is baptism. And Pete was reminding us that next Sunday evening we've got a baptism service out at Immingham. And if you've never taken that step of baptism, I want to encourage you. And I think those around the room who've taken that step would encourage you. Anybody, if you would like to encourage somebody who's not taken the step to get baptized next week, why don't you raise your hand now? Okay, there's a room full of people encouraging you to take a step of faith and to go the next step with the Lord. And what is that step? It's making a public declaration before people together that Jesus is your Lord, that you are now a follower of him, and you're making that public. And as you're doing that, there are people there just cheering you on. You know, when people get baptized, we have a cheer. And we encourage people, and we pray for people, we pray God's blessing over them, we speak words of life over them, and we want to do that for you if you've not taken that step. So really want to encourage you in that. Number five, let us hold unswervingly, this is Hebrews 10:23, hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. You know, there are certain things that we get to do and opportunities to do things and to be a witness for Jesus. But actually, I love it when I'm not on my own doing that. I love it when I'm in a group. I just feel a little bit more confident and I feel a little bit more at ease with it. That sense of, you know, I think that's why Jesus sent his disciples out in twos. Why Paul took his teams of people out on ministry, because they were supporting one another, they were encouraging one another in the sharing of the gospel. So let us hold unswervingly, because sometimes when you're on your own, you can hear all sorts of voices. Yes, the Lord is with us, but actually it's great to have other people around us just encouraging us in those things. And I feel a bit more confident when I've got that. Number six, Hebrews 10:24, 25, it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day approaching is when Jesus is going to return. And I guess we're an awful lot nearer that date than when this was written. Well, that's just logic, isn't it? So he's saying, keep doing it and keep doing it and keep getting together and keep meeting together. Don't forsake all that. Don't miss that important part of your of the church. And he says, look, each one of you has got this great capacity to encourage others and to spur each other on. We've been hearing a little bit about that with Sharon and Anne, you know, this morning, just in her testimony, just sensing that actually she needed somebody to pray with her for that arm and that shoulder. And she took that step, not just kept it to herself, but took that step and asked somebody to pray. And today she's testifying of healing. What a fantastic thing. That's changed her life. She can now stay warm in bed. I mean, I only picked that up because of the quilt thing. But sometimes, you know, I've got an example. It'll be 3 weeks ago tomorrow. Myself and Ellen, who's our CAP Centre manager, Christians Against Poverty Debt Centre that we run, we, on the Monday morning, we had scheduled in the diary a meeting with somebody from the CAP head office from Bradford. They were coming over and they were going to come and talk about funding. And I've got to be honest, I thought, oh no, funding. And I'm thinking, you know, there are something like 500 CAP projects across the nation. And all of them for the national pots are all going for the same pot of money, so there's no chance. It's only if there's a local pot specific to your geographical area that the chances you'll probably get something. So I'm thinking, this is going to be a waste of an hour and a half. I had to repent. The guy was brilliant. He came and he shared, and it wasn't about CAP funding for CAP projects. It opened my eyes to a wider scene of what we do as a church and how we do things as a church. And he was really encouraging of what we've already got in place. And that was great because he advises at a national level. But he put some seed thoughts in my mind for the future. And I've already been sharing those with the leadership team and the directors this past week. So, you know, where I was thinking, actually, we need each other to spur us on a little bit further in the journey that we have for us. Number seven, let us throw off, this is Hebrews 12:1, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked for us. That's a two-in-one there. Throw off everything that hinders, run with perseverance. you know, if we get this fellowship thing right, I think it really does take us forward in this whole area of moving ever closer to the holiness that God has called us to, the walk that God has marked out for us, where we're throwing off things that hinder us, where we get things right, that we live right, we have right attitudes, right hearts. You know, when we've got that true fellowship, when I've got that true fellowship with people, I really do feel a measure of accountability to the people around me. Yes, I'm accountable before God, and so are you. But actually, when you're in strong friendship and relationship and fellowship, actually, what my thoughts, spoken word, and actions do, and you know, to other people, you know, you think about it in a whole different way. And I want to encourage us just to keep moving forward with that. So let us throw off things that hinder us, but let us together persevere for the race marked for us. Number 8, Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Ellen, who I just mentioned, was sharing in our staff devotion this week. And she was talking about Jacob, where Jacob gets the flocks of Laban, and he separates them out. And he separates the good ones and the weak ones. And then in front of the good ones, he puts stripped bark, and they all become spotty and what have you. And actually, you know, he's a bit of a conniver, really. But actually, what Ellen was saying, there's something about what you see is what you become. What you see is what you become. What is the vision before you? But not only that, what is the vision before us as church? When you read Revelation, those first few chapters where God is speaking to the churches, the seven churches there, and he uses the phrase over and over again, to those who overcome. Yeah? We're talking about being overcomers. And there's something that God wants to share, to show, and to speak to the church that it is not just for one individual, but it's for that corporate gathering of God's people. I love it when the prophetic word comes, and it's not just for individuals, but there's that sense of something for us as a church, the church in the area, or the community. And you don't get that in isolation. You get that in that corporate setting. How many of us want to hear more of that? That we are the prophetic people God wants us to be in our day and generation. Number 9. I've alluded to this already. Hebrews 12, 28. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Anybody thankful? And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. I just love it. This opportunity we have on a regular basis of coming together, of worshiping God, being thankful for him. And we have these guys who lead us. In fact, guys, why don't you come back? And we're going to tap into some worship in a moment. You know, we are blessed as a body of people here with the musicians and the singers and the techno whiz guys that we have. They do an amazing job for us. But what a wonderful thing. As Pete was encouraging us right at the beginning, you know, if we come with that right heart and right attitude in our worship, it changes everything. Not only for us, but for the people around us. Yeah. When you are coming in with a heart of thankfulness, it will affect the person next to you. Let us together come and be thankful and worship the Lord. Hebrews 13:13, last one. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. This one's a bit tough. Because sometimes around the world today, it's happening all over the world. We pray with our friends at Release International about Christians who've been persecuted and been challenged for their faith and having to stand up for their faith, even to the point of persecution and death. And who knows what this nation and the church in this nation will encounter in the coming years. You know, it's increasingly a challenge to our Christian values, and we want to keep to those, and we want to do that wisely, but I think there are challenges coming. And I don't want to stand alone in that. And I think God calls us to stand together. Together. Back in 1555, You may have heard of the Oxford Martyrs. Some guys who were burned at the stake for their faith. One of them was called Hugh Latimer, the other one called Nicholas Ridley. And as they were about to be burned at the stake, Latimer says to Ridley, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as shall never be put out." Wow. I don't know in that moment what that did, but it must have done something. And who knows what we will face. Pray to the Lord that we don't face that. But we may face some persecution, some challenge to our faith. But if we've got one another, encouraging one another, standing together, then like Saul, son Jonathan, went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. There may be a moment that we're going to need to find strength in God. And it may be that somebody sat in this room will help you and you will help somebody else find strength in God. Well, I'm going to wrap this up, so why don't we stand and let's pray. And I particularly want to pray in those two areas that we're called to fellowship with Jesus and called to fellowship with one another. If today you've come here this morning and you heard everything that's been said, you've heard the songs that have been sung, you've heard the stories that have been given, and you say, well, I haven't got that fellowship, that friendship, that connection, that relationship with the Lord, then right here, right now, that can change. And you can invite Jesus Christ into your heart and life as your Savior and friend and come into fellowship with him and the Father. And so why don't everybody bow their heads and I want to pray. So Father, I pray right now by your Holy Spirit, you will reveal yourself across this room. The love that you have for us, as we were singing about earlier this morning, Lord, that it would be revealed to each one afresh. And to those who perhaps feel that they don't know you, Lord, I pray they'll get a revelation of your love in this place this morning. And if there's anybody here today who would just like to take that step of coming, as we were encouraged right at the beginning, to come to the Lord. You want to come to the Lord this morning, maybe for the very first time, I want to pray with you. Why don't you raise your hand? Everybody's going to have their eyes closed. You just raise your hand right where you are. I'd love to pray with you before we conclude today. Okay. All right. Well, nobody raised their hand. Okay, that's fine. But if on a second point, in that sense of fellowship with one another, and maybe you are feeling that actually I'm not that connected in with the church of God's people. I haven't got that friendship and relationship where I know somebody's standing with me. I haven't got that confidence that I can go and ask somebody to pray for me. But you really want that. I just want to pray for you right here and right now. So if that's you, just where you stood, why don't you just put your hands out in front of you, and I want to pray that right and strong relationships and friendships would come into your heart and life. That you would find people who help you find strength in the Lord. And vice versa, you will begin to help people find strength in the Lord. So Father, across this room where people have got their hands stretched out, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will destroy every lie of the devil that would say they are not worthy or welcome in the family of God, that lie is broken in Jesus' name. And that friendships begin to flourish, fellowship begins to develop and deepen to a greater level than ever before. And that we would find across this congregation of God's people that strength in relationship that brings a strength in our relationship with the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Lord bless you. Thanks, Andy.